Karma Automotive, Forbes magazine's most anticipated luxury electric vehicle. Karma Automotive is a luxury EV brand designed and manufactured in California. Proud sponsor and official luxury vehicle of the Las Vegas Raiders. Charge the motion beyond EV. Karma Automotive. The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app True Connect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of True Connect exclusively for Raider Nation.
The game is over, but we're just getting started. You're listening to The Fifth Quarter, presented by Twitch. On the Raiders Podcast Network.
Well, Coach McDaniel said in postgame, he goes, well, that wasn't a Picasso, but that will do. Your Las Vegas Raiders handle business at home. DJ Duffel, 21-17. Eddie Pascal here hanging out in the fifth quarter with the aforementioned Bryce Butler. And Bryce, man, for a game that, you know, there weren't a ton of points, right? 21-17. No shortage of excitement, exciting plays, and you and I got a lot to talk about, my friend.
Yeah, we do. I can't wait to get into it. Let's go now.
So let's start here, right? Let's go to the very, 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 very end. We'll come back to Jimmy G. We'll come back to the offense, but I want to start where we need to with Max Crosby ending this game.
Yep.
The New England Patriots get the ball back with 2:23 left, with a chance to either tie and or win the game. Couple penalties, uncharacteristic penalties of a Bill Belichick-led team. And we have the New England Patriots, Mac Jones and company, way back up on their end of the field. And Max Crosby does what Max Crosby does, Bryce. He comes, he brings the heat, he ends this game for the silver and black. I mean, are we ready to have a serious, and I know that we're only a third of the way through the season, a serious conversation about where this man ranks in the upper echelon of not only defensive players in the NFL, but players in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, Max Crosby is definitely top 10 talent in the league, in my opinion. I mean, he's a guy where he's an immediate game changer. Like, your game planning, your whole game plan as an offense is around Max Crosby. Like, you cannot forget Max Crosby. And even with, you know, maybe extra chips from receivers and tight ends to help the offensive tackles, or, you know, you're double teaming them, it doesn't matter. Like, this guy, his will is unmatched, and we see it every week, week in and week out. Max Crosby is a dog.
You know, we talk about his line, Duffel. He goes 7 tackles, a half sack. And you and I were talking about this. I have a feeling that's one that they changed maybe.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
He definitely was solo on that. Like, I mean, yeah, somebody else jumped on Mac Jones, but he did all that.
That's he did. That's on number 98. Half sack, 2-yard sack on that, 1 quarterback hit, a pass defense. I mean, we talk about the motor, and I think that's a disservice to Max a little bit, that's kind of the first adjective that comes up when we talk about him. Because, I mean, we look now, Bryce, at kind of his arsenal of pass rush moves.
Yeah.
This is a guy now, like when he first got to Oakland a couple years ago, like, I don't want to say Max was a one-trick pony, but he was the effort guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what he did. He got to the quarterback because he wanted it more, because he was not going to stop, because he wasn't going to let the left tackle, the right tackle, the interior lineman keep him away. Now this dude is like a tactician. Like, this is a guy who has taken his game from here to here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we look at his game, how good he is in the run game. This is a complete player. This is not a one-trick pony by any stretch of the imagination.
Nah, he's definitely a guy that, you know, he works on his game in the offseason. Just like you said, when he came in, it was all about effort, bull rush, just getting to the quarterback. And now he has everything. He has the post. He has the spin move. He has the fake spin move. He can get up under. Like, he can do everything. And, you know, I be watching him play, and it's amazing. Because, I mean, when it comes to the defensive line, it's really similar to the receiver game, right? Because all they're doing is doing get-offs.
Yeah.
I mean, at receiver, you have a corner in front of you, and you try to get off and go down the field. The difference being is that the defensive linemen, they have to get to wherever the quarterback is. And, man, I mean, that dude is, like, seeing what he's doing play in and play out is beautiful, man. Like, it's effortless, and you know he works really hard on his craft.
So let's kind of zoom out a little bit, right? We talked about Max in as a singular creature on this defense, but, man, this defense in totality, man, we now look at back-to-back games of what they've been able to do, Bryce. And look, with all due respect to the New England Patriots, with all due respect to Mac Jones and those guys, like, we're not talking about, like, the Kansas City Chiefs on offense here, right?
No.
We're not. Like, they've certainly got, you know, they've had their bumps and bruises, and I think it's important to note that they're down a few key playmakers. But all the same, man, you look at what this defense did. Patrick Graham deserves an absolute round of applause. Mac Jones, 24 of 33, 200 yards, 1 interception. They limit the Patriots to 83 yards on the ground. Stevenson gets going a little bit, 4.5 yards a carry. But this offense, Bryce, for really 60 minutes, everything that they did looked hard. It looked laborious. Yeah. There was nothing that Max and this defense did that was easy, that gave them opportunities to get in rhythm. As an offense, like, how frustrating is that when you just can't, when you try, and you just can't find that rhythm?
It's super frustrating, man. And yeah, shout out to my man Patrick Graham. He was my coach down in Miami. But yeah, and that's what they do. Like, they try to confuse you pre-snap, post-snap. He's going to change it up. He's going to give you different looks. He's going to give you things to think about. And all that. And that's what he's doing. And he's confusing these quarterbacks. And then, you know, obviously, you know, when we go down the line, just like you said, when we play the Mahomes and the Andy Reids, we're going to just have to keep doing what we're doing good. But, man, you're always frustrated if you can't do nothing on offense if you're on offense. Like, what you want to do is score points. What you want to do is drive down the field. And there was really only a few drives in which it was like, okay, like, they're really driving the field. And when that happens, like today's game, Kendrick Bourne had a big play. Mm-hmm. And it was literally just a lack of tackling. Like, it was three guys surrounding him. He puts a little move on the guys, and somebody misses a tackle, and then he takes off for, like, 20 more yards. And really, that was the game. So, I mean, hats off to Patrick Graham and the Raiders defense, because, I mean, the last 2 weeks, man, they've been looking very good.
Yeah, and let's be honest, right? Like, you know, you don't want to put any win solely on one person, one group. It's all about we talked about that last week, right? It's complementary football. But, like, you can call a spade and be like, hey, the reason the Raiders have been in the past two games, two wins, I might add, is because of this defense.
Yeah.
This defense that caught a lot of heat throughout the offseason, at the end of 2022 and throughout the entire offseason training camp, they caught a lot of heat. The early part of this season even caught a lot of heat. They are the reason that this team is 3-3 right now.
Yeah.
Patrick Graham and those boys are the reason that Jimmy G and, in today's case, Brian Hoyer and Josh Jacobson, those guys have an opportunity to do what they do. But before we shift to the offensive side of the football, Bryce, one thing that I found really, I don't even want to say refreshing, but really like, okay, like, there's something in a positive way amiss here, is you look at how many substitute DBs were playing today.
Uh-huh.
You know, you look at a guy like Jakorian Bennett, who missed last week, but comes in, is able to come back and ingratiate himself in this defense. We're talking about Tyler Hall. We're talking about guys that were on the practice squad and gotten elevated. Like, what does it say about the depth of this team, where you have dudes literally getting elevated from the practice squad on Friday and Saturday, coming in and playing meaningful ball on Sunday afternoon?
I mean, another hats off to them, you know, and some claps as well, because that means these guys are ready. You know, they're paying attention in practice. Even if they're on practice squad, they're like, hey, like, let me get in the playbook. Let me know what the game plan is. Let me be prepared, so if I do get that opportunity, if it knocks, I'll be ready to answer the door. And these guys have been doing it, and I mean, I don't know if that's like a coaching thing. I don't know if that's just like these dudes are accountable to each other. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is they're doing, keep doing it, because you guys have been looking good on Sundays.
I mean, it's probably a mixture of both, right? Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, and you would know better than I, of the guys who are grinding on the practice squad, waiting for that opportunity. Like, you got to stay ready. Like, you don't have the luxury of being like, oh, I'm going to take this week off and maybe I'll get it together for week 7. Like, you got to be ready to rock. But at the same token, like, the coaching staff has to help you get ready.
Yeah.
Like, you're not doing it alone, right? The guys in your room have to help you get ready. So I feel like it is really kind of that beautiful marriage of a dude being ready, waiting for his opportunity, the coaching staff putting you in a position to succeed, right, and then the rest of your teammates building you up also.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, you as a guy, you have to be accountable to, you know, what your goals are as a player. Mm. And then at the same time, the coaches have to be good teachers. And the guys have to be ready to play. And then, obviously, when you're on the field, you know, the coaches put you in the positions and the players have to make the plays. So, it's everybody, it's a team effort, baby.
100%.
It's looking great.
Yes, and it's looking great. We're feeling great. Raider Nation will get to enjoy a consecutive, well, we enjoyed a victory Tuesday last week. Go ahead.
Win streak two.
We enjoyed a victory Tuesday this week, but now we'll get to enjoy a victory Monday tomorrow. So 2 wins in 6 days, not too shabby. But I want to go back to halftime, Bryce. We go to the break. You and I head out of Legion Stadium, come back here to the studio, get ready to do the show.
Yeah.
Raiders are up 13-3, right? Yeah. You feel like they left some points on the board there. We'll talk about the red zone efficiency in a little bit. But let's start here. We get back to the facility. You and I get settled. Mm-hmm. We get ready to take in the second half.
Yeah.
And we see Brian Hoyer trot out there for the first offensive series for your Las Vegas Raiders. And I'm curious, from a dude who is in the league, from a guy who has seen a ton of different scenarios, What is kind of the mindset and what is the thought process when your backup comes in and essentially cold and is like, hey, he's going to be the guy that's going to take us the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where how we were talking about, like, staying ready. So when you're a receiver or running back or whoever else, you're looking at the backup. So you're looking at Brian Hoyer like, okay, how is he in practice? Is he locked in? Is he dialed? Is he focused? You know, is he making his throws in scout team, or is he making his throws when he gets his reps with the first team? Like, how is he looking? Can I trust him? So then when that situation happens where we don't know what happened to Jimmy, but, like, Jimmy can't come out the second half and play, it's either we're going to be real confident about this guy or we're not going to be confident at all. And it seemed like, from what I saw on TV, you know, because we left, when I saw on TV, it seemed like Brian Hoyer is a guy that the players can get behind because it looked like he was talking to everybody. He was talking to O-line. He's talking to Devontae. He's trying to get guys going. He's encouraging guys. Obviously, today, Devontae didn't look happy on the sideline. So, you know, you see him talking to Devontae, saying whatever he has to say to make sure his all-pro receiver is ready to go. So when a change like that happens, all those things – how is he in the locker? All those things go into what Eddie and what Marcus or whoever is going to feel like for the confidence for them to have for that guy going in.
And I want to stick on that conversation that CBS caught of him talking to Devontae, right? Mm-hmm. And you just look at the body language, right? You and I weren't on the bench, right? We don't know exactly the nature of that conversation, right? But you look at body language.
Right.
Devontae's got the towel on, clearly not exuberant,
pissed.
Jumping for joy.
He's pissed.
Yeah. And you have your veteran quarterback, a dude who, you know, was thrown in literally right before the start of the second half, go over him, look him in the eye, man-to-man conversation. And to me, I was like, okay, this is like a big moment kind of in the course of this second half, right? Because to your point, Devontae Adams, depending on who you ask, right, the best wide receiver, the second best wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
When you have a backup in, you need to make sure that this dude is in line, that you guys are in sync.
Right.
And I think for Hoyer to kind of, in the craziness of a game, right, in a game that he never thought he was going to be playing in,
right,
to take that moment and say, hey, you and me, we're good. Let's do this. I think it says a lot about him.
Yeah. I mean, he's been around for a while, man. Like, this is not his first rodeo, dog. Like, he's a seasoned guy. He's been on some great teams. He's been back up to a guy like Tom Brady for a while. Like, he's been around for a while, so he knows he's a guy. He's a leader. Like, he's a guy that knows if he has to take over, he can do it. He's well equipped, and I mean, especially for, you know, our young quarterback O'Connell, like, it's great to have a guy like Brian Hoyer there as well that's done it, been on Super Bowl teams, been around, like, seen everything, to also help him as well as helping Jimmy, the starter. So, I mean, Josh McDaniels, Brian Hoyer, they've been around each other for a while. They're probably best friends.
Yeah, a lot
their
of
wives
familiar.
Are probably
yeah.
cool with each other. You know what I'm saying? So to have a guy like that on the team is a positive.
You know, Brian Hoyer finishes his night tonight, or afternoon, I should say, 6-10, 102 yards, QBR of 94.6. But one thing that I really appreciate about it, Bryce, is the fact that he went out there, he let it rip, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
we need
yeah,
that.
Like, he came in, he let it rip. Longest play from scrimmage, I believe, this year, courtesy of Brian Hoyer. But, I mean, like, I imagine for, like, the guys on that offense, right, for your offensive linemen, for your Devontae's, for your Jacoby Myers, mm-hmm. for a dude, you see him come in and you're like, okay, like, what does it look like? And he's saying, hey, man, no fear here. Let's go put
Let's
some points
go.
On the board.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, dude, I mean, he came in the game through 10 passes. He had 100 yards. He wasn't too far off of Jimmy G. The offense, as far as, like, I don't want to say the scheme, but the offense, as far as, like, how it looked immediately different mm-hmm. when he was in there. The balls, those tight window throws. I think Devontae caught, like, this nice dig route in the second window. He put that thing in there. He hit number 11 down the field on the post. Obviously, Bill Belichick has taken away Devontae Adams from the game. So when he was in slot at number 3, he runs the basic cross. Safety collapses. Now you got the post backside. He's probably been seeing that all week. He also been in that on the other side in the Patriots
yeah.
uniform. So he probably knew that was happening. Probably told number 11, hey, be ready. Like, the safety's coming down. I'm coming for you. Like, those are conversations that you have with your players in huddles, like, hey, I'm probably coming to you. Be ready. You know what I'm saying? And so, I'm sure, especially a guy like Devontae, who's not really getting the ball. He's open, but he's not getting the ball for whatever reason. I'm not here to talk about scheme. I'm not here talking about quarterback play. But to see that when you're like, oh, shoot, Brian's out here gunslinging. Like, all right, like, let's go. You know, and obviously, I'm sure you think the same. If he would have played another quarter or another half, he would have probably ended up with 200 to 250, maybe 300, depending on, you know, some more big plays. But, yeah, I mean, it looked totally different when he was in there.
And I think there's the natural kind of element of it's someone else, right? And, yeah. And so, like, the Patriots are, you know, they go through the week and they get ready for Jimmy and what Jimmy brings to the table and Jimmy's strong suits. Yeah. And obviously, Brian and Jimmy's similarities, they both obviously have known Coach McDaniels for a long time, so they have that commonality of understanding. But different dudes, right? Yeah. Like, it would just be like, you know, as similar as two receivers can be, as similar as two linemen can be, there's going to always be those little differences. But as we record this right now, Brian, at just about 5 o'clock on Sunday night, we heard from Coach McDaniels earlier. Really, no update on the health of Jimmy G. Did acknowledge that he obviously left the building, but he said still being evaluated for whatever injury that he's currently going through. But man, we talk about the importance of the backup quarterback, how it's one of the most important positions on the NFL football team, and you never really think about it until you need one. Yeah. And we saw it today. We saw how important it is 100% for the Silver and Black.
He definitely hit us with some MLB playoff closer action.
Yes.
Because he closed out that game.
1,000%. Max Crosby helped a lot too. But we look at Bryce, you know, the defense, as we talked about, deserves a ton of credit for today. They deserve a ton of credit for Monday. They deserve a ton of credit for how they've kind of, I don't want to say been able to like silence the noise, but really kind of focus in on them and are playing a really incredible brand of football. I mean, we look at that first quarter where the Patriots finished the quarter with -2 yards. First time in Bill Belichick's illustrious career that any team of his has finished with negative yards in the first quarter. So those boys are doing their thing. I want to kind of shift back, though, to the offense a little bit. And we look at, and it's obviously a lot more fun to have these conversations when you win. Mm-hmm. The red zone efficiency for the Raiders, once again, left a lot to be desired.
Ooh.
1 of 6. When you're playing the upper echelon teams in the NFL, when you're playing those big dog teams in the AFC, NFC, whatever it is, you can't go 1 of 6 in the red zone. From your perspective, you know, just speaking in generalities, Duffel, like, what is the key to, I don't even want to say being great in the red zone, but being better in the red zone than 1 of 6?
I will say most red zone scores are from broken plays. And it's a situation to where if you can have a quarterback with decent mobility, you know, if the original play design doesn't pop up, say it's a pass play, the original play design doesn't pop open, you know, for a touchdown immediately like Jacoby Myers is today, you want to be able to extend the play. If you can't extend the play, that makes it tough. But obviously, when it comes to the red zone, big dog, like you gotta be punishing up front. You gotta be able to run the ball. Like red zone rushing is big as well because it opens up the back end. Because now, if we're on the 5-yard line and they're scared that like, okay, Josh Jacobs is probably going to score if they just hand it off 3 times, the box is going to be heavy, and now you have 1-on-1 coverage on the outsides. And even now, even though like now. Obviously, we've seen the last 2 weeks. We spoke about this last week Monday before the game. You know, the biggest thing was, like, let's let Josh Jacobs eat. Like, let's give him a steady dose of running. The last 2 weeks, we've done that. He's gotten over 20 carries. I think today he had 25. And you see, like, towards the end of the game, those start to pop open for us. But it seems like when we get in the red zone, we're really not getting, like, those nice 3 to 5 yard runs when we're in within the 20, 25. And those hurt. If you can't get those, because now, you do have 1-on-1 coverage on the outsides, but like Coach McDaniel said last week, he doesn't want to throw a turnover. He doesn't want to turn the ball over. So we know that he might not be as liberal or as free to throw the ball in the red zone, so our running game has to be better.
Yeah, I mean, we look at the run game today, Duffel. You know, we talk about Josh, like you said, 25 carries, 77 yards, has a long of 18. So we talk about wearing on the defense, and we saw that towards the end. 84 total yards for the Silver and Black. But you brought up a great point right before we started recording where we'll have to go back and check. But this feels, just the field test, right, the most balanced the Raiders have been this year.
Yes,
they
yes.
ran the ball 33 times, ended up throwing the ball 32 times. So obviously there's a bit of a recalculation that I'm sure goes into that when you have a backup quarterback.
Right.
But we talk about complementary football. Balance, balance, balance. Never a bad thing.
No, and then if you look at the time of possession, you know, this comes with running as well and holding the ball and having nice methodical drives. We got the ball for 32 minutes. Patriots had it for 27. And in the first quarter, we basically had 95% of the first quarter. So that helps guys like Max Crosby, helps guys on the back end on the defensive side to where they have rest. And then when they're out there, they're ready to get after the quarterback, ready to, you know, create havoc for the opposing offenses. So, yeah, man, hats off to the team again. I like to give a lot of hat tips.
Well, it's easy after a W. It's easy after a W.
It is, for sure, for sure. But, yeah, time of possession, complimentary football, always works, baby.
Check, check, check. And, again, I mean, we talk about things to get better at. I think the glaring one – I think two things that if you really want to nitpick coming out of a win, because, look, you can – you know, any team in the NFL win, loss, there's a million things you can go through and say, hey, I wish this was better. Hey, they need to get better at this going forward.
Right.
The two things that come to me, number one, the red zone efficiency. We've talked about it a bunch. Has to get better. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It has to get better. The other thing for me is some of those ill-timed penalties, right?
Yeah.
Some of those ill-timed penalties. You know, Max Crosby obviously ends this game, is the closer, goes full Mariano Rivera on him. But just early in that game, right, he keeps the Patriots' drive alive by a, I will call it questionable roughing the passer on Mac Jones. But all the same, right, you can't put yourself in that position. You can't give the referees the ammo to kind of make that call. So we talk about some of the ill-timed penalties. You clean those up, but you got to get better in the red zone. You got, and to me, I think if I were to put it under one kind of nice banner, right, cleaner football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't even have anything to say about that.
I stumped Duffel. I stumped him.
Cleaner football.
We look ahead now to Bryce to Sunday. We play again on Sunday at the Chicago Bears. The Raiders heading out on the road for the first time in a few weeks.
Okay.
As we record this right now, I always have to give the disclaimer. As we record this right now, Justin Fields' status for next week up in the air. He came out of that game this week. Looks like he hurt his hand. Obviously, kind of a Jimmy type situation. Evaluating and seeing how he goes through the week here. What are the challenges for a team going? And we saw it today, but going up against, if this is indeed the case, going up against a quarterback that you haven't really seen a whole heck of a lot of in 2023.
Yeah, I mean,
is it just the
who's
unknown?
Their backup?
Yeah, I mean, I had to look it up as well.
Who's their
it
backup?
It is a gentleman named. Give me one second because I looked it up earlier. It is a gentleman named Tyson Bagent, B-A-G-E-N-T. I apologize if I'm butchering his last name, but Tyson. We'll go with Bagent.
Well, hey, you just have to see. Like, if this guy does have a lot of film, I don't know how old or young he is. So say he's a young guy. The coaches are definitely going to look at his college tape. They're going to see what his, you know, positives are, what his strengths, what his weaknesses are, right? From the player standpoint, the players have to just know, especially from defense, because defense, like, it's all situational. Like, typically when you study, like, you're studying, like, what is the offense going to do on third and five, third and mid, third and long, third and short? What formations do they like to do stuff out of? Who's the offensive coordinator? So all those things are characteristics that you can study. So you have to make sure you just lock in on studying those things because they still do them with Justin Fields, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, they still do those things with Justin Fields. And then, like, you kind of have to expect that if Justin Fields is your starting quarterback, he's your franchise guy, like, the backup quarterback is going to be around the same. So this guy might be able to run. You know, he might have some feet. He might have some leg talent as well. So those are things that you just have to think about. Obviously, it's a full cohesive thing that goes throughout the week when you study and research a team. You have people that do that very well. And then as a player, you have to study the things that you so you can stay ready and be ready for that moment because you don't know if Justin Fields is going to play. And then obviously you have to expect that Justin is going to play, but then also be ready if he's not, unless they come out tomorrow or Tuesday and say he's completely
out. Yeah, he's out. Before we let you go, Duffel, you know, the Raiders have now won back-to-back games. And, you know, I think it's been kind of refreshing where the coaching staff and the players have said neither have been really pretty, right? No, not pretty wins. Yeah. But at the end of the day, they all count the same, right? What do you think it does for a locker room now to kind of have this little mini homestand, two games at home, handle business, knowing like, hey, we still managed to win games when the opposition didn't get close to what our best was?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody, like you said, they said these are ugly wins, but a win is a win. At the end of the day, you don't want it to be, at the end of the day, like, you won the game, but you know that we're not playing our best football, mm-hmm. right? So now you know you can clean things up. Cleaner football. Hashtag cleaner football.
Hashtag cleaner football.
You know there's things that we can do better. You know that there's things on the offense that we can optimize in the kicking game that we can optimize. On defense, we just can keep building what we've been doing. Mm-hmm. Another big thing would be, is don't start feeling yourself too much, right? We won two nice, tight games. It feels good to go home with a win, but let's not read our press clippings tomorrow. Let's not watch our highlights too much on ESPN, on NFL Network too much, and go into Soldier Field thinking that, oh, yeah, the Bears suck. Like, they're terrible. Like, we can go in there and just mollywop these dudes. Because, I mean, if you watch them play, like, they're playing pretty tight games. Yeah. Like, they're not just getting beat 70 to 20.
And they have the ability to put up a lot of points. I mean, we've seen them a few weeks now where they're in the 30s, they're in the 40s. Like, they can put up points.
Yeah, they have guys. They have talent on offense, you know, so they can move the ball. So my big thing, the only thing I would implore to the team is, like, look, don't start feeling yourself. Stay humble. Stay grounded. Let's keep building because you want that confidence to keep going. Like, you don't want to play a team like the Bears that might be struggling. They might be a little wounded right now. You don't want them to be in the game because if they are in the game, they might be able to pull it out.
Especially at home.
And you don't want that because if you lose to a team like the Bears, it can – you could be a good straight-A student, but if you have a bad test, a failing grade on the test, it can bring you down to a B-minus.
100%.
And you don't want to be down to B-minus because it's hard to get back up to that A-plus status, baby.
That's true. That's true. And we've heard so much the past couple weeks about, you know, the when you look at the Raiders' schedule and how it lines up, like, there's no getting around it, right? The back end of the schedule for the Silver and Black is really, really tough. You got a lot of good teams that you're going to play. And I don't want to discredit anyone or any type of football that anyone else is playing, but you look at least objectively, and this is the this is the run where the Raiders can stack some W's, right? Obviously, you've done two in a row. You're going on the road now to a Chicago team that hasn't necessarily found its rhythm yet in 23. But to your point, can't take them lightly, cannot overlook anyone in this league, especially when the Raiders, as we said, haven't played their best brand of football yet this season. But there is a lot of football yet to come, and it's going to be a blast. And we talk about it all the time, man, it is better to have to go through these corrections. It's better to have these conversations coming off a W like the Raiders had this afternoon at Allegiant Stadium. So, man, it feels good. Bryce, you're good luck, man. We have you on two times, two wins. Look at that. Not too shabby. So
come on, baby.
We will be back next week. Raiders obviously on the road. We will be back here at this facility. So for Eddie Pascal, my guy Bryce Butler, everyone else at Silver and Black Productions who helps keep us rocking and rolling, we thank you, thank you, thank you. Enjoy the victory Monday, Raider Nation. Each and every single one of you deserved it. And we will see you guys next week for the fifth quarter presented by Twitch.
Thank you for listening to the fifth quarter presented by Twitch. Make sure to download the Raiders mobile app, and we'll see you next week.